This is Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi here at WFYL, working for your liberty, 1180 AM. We discuss issues which will create strong families who we believe create strong communities. We have current authors, exciting leaders, and cutting-edge resources and tools for you to use so that you can have the best family you can have. We have in studio with us today the privilege and honor of having Mrs. Nancy Hansen, who is the CEO and founder of Capstone Legacy Foundation. Hello, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling wonderful, and it's delightful to be here.
Thank you. We also have your duo, your dynamic duo, as I like to call it, the two of you, Mrs. Barbara Miller, who is your leader with your Capstone Prayer Group,
I believe,
your prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. So this is your second time that you've been on our show. I encourage you all to go to our podcast that is up on our website and listen to part one with Mrs. Nancy Hansen. She has a wonderful family legacy that everyone should be aware of, I believe. And that legacy, I believe, has brought her today to being the CEO and founder of Capstone Legacy Foundation. I'd like you to share with us a little bit about the history of Capstone and then maybe bring us right up to currently today what's happening with this wonderful organization.
Yeah, Capstone was really formed out of a lot of prayer, which is what Barbara Miller spoke about the last time we were here. We have a prayer room. We're firmly believing in intercessory prayer and for God to guide and lead in what you do. I've been part of a family foundation for many years and had the wonderful occasion to hear tremendous stories of people who were sacrificing a very different lifestyle in order to help those who are the underserved and to really get in front of people who are donors with the stories of the lives that are being changed because Christ has come into their lives and they've realized the need to support those who are really under the radar screen. And many of us see some of the poor effects that have come out of lives that have been absolutely trashed or become dysfunctional or hurting and are crying out for help, but they don't know where to go. And then people hear their heart, hear their cries, and create organizations to support them. And so we are blessed to have that. And so over the time, I've heard things that I just feel more people ought to hear than just those of us who've had the opportunity to support. And then I also realize that in the secular world, Christians are not being treated in the same level as the secular world is. And when they hear you're Christians and the filter comes out in getting funds, I've served on board, so I know what a lot of those secular organizations do. And it's precious few who really are interested in what you're doing as a Christian and the impact you have. And it's a provable, we have provable information that has been sustained that if you have a Christian serving in an area and you have the secular world serving in that area, the results are hundreds of percentages better. And the reason is you're bringing in a living person in the equation. So you're not just solving a problem by giving people some solutions, but you're solving it by leading them to a person who can change their lives. So that became exciting to me. It happened to me. It's happened to others that I've had the privilege of talking to. Prayer has been a vitally important part of that organization. And then God led us to start the Capstone Legacy Foundation. Capstone is the finished work, the capstone that combines all the things that have come up to a certain point, and it's the finished product. He is our finished product. He is our capstone. So that's where the capstone came from. He is the finished work of all that of his creation. And as we turn to him and look to him, then he is the one who can guide us, lead us, instruct us, and help us. He's also our legacy. And people, legacy is a big word today, and we love the term legacy because he is our legacy. We have a legacy. We leave a legacy. We either leave it better or worse because we've been here. And we are here to help people who really want to leave a legacy, not when they're no longer here, but now at this time. What can they do with their lives to really make an impact? And how can they do that in the area that they're serving? And some people have information that they're already supporting organizations. And the fun thing about Capstone is we have ways and means that they can even support more because of things that they may not realize that they have that can be turned into assets that can be literally used to help. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So as I began to realize the need to get resources to more ministries, people are givers. They want to support things. Sometimes they don't always know how to support what they want. And sometimes they know how to support, but they need to know how they can get more support. So in all of those areas, Capstone Legacy Foundation was formed to serve. So we call ourselves servant leaders. Mm-hmm. We serve first and lead where necessary. So we're there to be a servant to those who really have a heart and passion to give, who want to establish a fund in a variety of ways that are going to really have an impact now and into the future, have a place where they have what I call a safe harbor, place where they can come that affirms them, supports them, undergirds them, and takes all of the heavy lifting off of them and what they would need to do. There are the legal compliances from our government, from our state, from our local government. So we handle all that. We handle all the back office support so that people don't have to worry about getting accountants and keeping ledgers. And we have all of that in-house to do so they can have the heart to give, the passion to give, and even the funds to give, but we can take off all the compliance issues and it can be more fun for them to give.
Mm-hmm. And it is really fun to give. The unfun part is what you're speaking of, doing all mm-hmm. of the paperwork with the accountants and the government. And so that's wonderful that you're providing that service for people. Can you give us some examples specifically of how Capstone has brought people together?
Well, one of the other things that's really been important that this makes me think of when you say it that way is I feel a Christian Community Foundation can be a convening agent for the body of Christ. This is something that, apart from what I've just said, is a definite focus that God has put on my heart. As a funder for many years, I've seen the diversity within the kingdom of God also be a dividing entity. That's mm-hmm. never what the Lord wanted. Mm-hmm. He wanted us to become united. Just imagine if your fingers decided they didn't want to be part of your hand or your hand mm-hmm. part of your arm. And yet this is what we're doing in the body of Christ. And I think there are many elements over time that have happened that have caused this, but it's time for us to come together and to band together. And so as a Christian Community Foundation, we can convene people who have a commonality of interest to meet each other, find each other. We just had a program last week of a person who was an ambassador with the United States, has been incredible in an investor. He's been in Silicon Valley, and he came and he was teaching us what's coming down the pike in technology. And we had a variety of business people there just to hear what's going to happen and how that can transform what they're going to do in business and how to prepare for that. So that was a convening that we could do, bringing a person who has the ability to really speak into the lives of those who are in the business realm about things that are going to be happening within the near future, and bring not only business people but people who are prospective donors. Mm-hmm. Then the next morning we had a convening for people who are interested in the fatherhood mm-hmm. initiative. There are leaders all over this area. We have 11 counties, and what our objective was to pull leaders together from these different counties, help them to find each other, and then have again, ambassadors speak about what he's learned about fatherlessness and the impact it has on our economy, on our health, on all of the things that we don't connect the dots that has, but it does, and how children are impacted with the lack of fathers. And we had about 60 people there, but they were 60 different organizations represented. And so when it was finished, we put little decals on their name tags, and they had colors on them. So if you had a color red and there was somebody at another table with a color red, you were from the same county mm-hmm. and you were doing similar things. So after everything was over, they started finding each other, and we're seeing how we can encourage them to move ahead to continue to convene and to join together, not to subject what they have to each other, but to support it and encourage it and expand it. Because when you work together with more of the diversity in unity, you can have a greater impact.
So these community events that Capstone is supporting is really acting as a conduit to bring people together.
Yes.
Because as you said, when we come together, we have more of a voice. We have more power.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we don't feel quite as lonely out there. Goodness, we're both like-minded. Let's bond. Let's become more powerful for Jesus Christ.
I agree. I think another thing happens. I think it's less confusing to people around us because they see this group doing something and this group doing something and they seem similar, yet they're not connected and they don't understand why they don't know each other. And it's difficult for funders, too, because you'll get a variety of people coming to you, and if they all have a similar sound, you can only fund so much of that. If they became more unified, there would be a greater impact. So you'd have a greater impact in your outreach, and you have a greater impact in fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Hansen, is this a national organization, or are you primarily helping people in Pennsylvania?
Our main focus is right here, but we are national. We are registered in every state that requires that in the country, because I'm in almost every state in things that I do, plus the fact we know that there are people that have a heart for what we have are called to do. And our main call is really to help people who have assets, who really want to make a difference, find different funding solutions. I think because of Capstone, we have created giving solutions that enable God's people to give wisely, plan strategically, establish a legacy, and transform communities, because that's part of what we were talking about. That's been a big part of the heart of Capstone. And we're there to help people to accomplish their dream, their vision, their purpose. And it's kind of fun. We came up with something that is on our website, and it said, can you imagine if your non-liquid assets you could turn into support for orphans, real estate. Some people have land that they haven't used. Some people have inherited pieces of property. And what happens is they want to sell those things and then give the money. No. You give the asset to Capstone. Capstone liquidates it. Then it's no longer on your bottom line. It's not on your bottom line at all. It now becomes a taxable issue. So you get the tax benefits. Capstone gets the asset. They liquidate the asset. The asset goes into a fund, a giver fund, and then that person has the privilege of advising Capstone as to what is on their heart, what they want to give to, and that is so exciting. It can be transformed into Bibles. If people want to have Bibles go into different countries, and today you have these little translation-on-tape things that can be sent that can even get through a lot easier into countries that would confiscate Bibles, but they're just tiny little recorders today that have the whole Bible in them, and so they can use those.
Mrs. Hansen, if I can just back up
Sure.
for a minute, because I want to make sure that all of our listeners understand what I'm understanding, which is that if I have a piece of property, a rental property, let's say, and I give that over to Capstone,
mm-hmm.
you will now own it and get all of the income from that that's generated.
Mm-hmm. They get the tax benefit.
And then I'll get the tax benefit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I also get to choose that I want the money that is being given to you through this property, let's say, to go to sex trafficking, to stop sex
mm-hmm.
trafficking,
mm-hmm.
or... Okay.
Yes.
And then I don't really have to deal with anything of the paperwork. You're pretty much doing that whole business end for
exactly.
me. That confusing part.
Exactly. It's not only confusing. It's really compliances that could have some very, very definite legal ramifications. So we take all of that off. And the neat thing is we also have something called a donor view.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as somebody opens a fund with Capstone, we send them a letter, welcome to the Capstone family, because we see ourselves as family, and we want our people who work with us to see us as the same. And they have entrusted us with not only the gift that they want to give, but with the heart from which encourages that giving. And so we want to make sure that what's on their heart is carried out through that gift. And so that goes into a giver's fund. When the letter comes, as I tell people, read the second paragraph, please, because in that it says there's a certain code you can type in to your computer, and up comes your donor view. It shows you the money that's in there. It shows you if it's over $50,000, it can be invested. But we love to work with people's investment counselors, so there's no money that gets transferred from them to us unless they want to use the people we have. But we love to use people's investment firms, financial firms, because it's a relationship, and that's important to us. And then they have the opportunity to talk about what they really have on their heart to give to. And our joy is to see that fulfilled. Sometimes people know organizations that are already running and they're doing a good job. Excuse me. So they want that to be given there, and that's fine. But sometimes they don't know of the organizations. But because I've been a donor over many years, as I said, I don't know every organization, but I think I know one in almost every category. So we can share with people the information we have if that benefits them. But on the other hand, we love to carry out what they want through the people that they are using. Now, sometimes people get busy and sometimes organizations change. This happens in foundations. It happens in ministries. And so if there's a change and we learn about it and some of our people aren't necessarily right in the field that they're funding, we just at least can inform our clients, that our donors and our family, as we say, as to some of the changes that are taking place, just to make sure that they're comfortable with that. But one of the neat things about setting up a donor fund or a giver's fund is that they can explain to us what they want to give to, why are they giving, and what they want to give to. So if anything changes and we look at that document, we can follow their heart, not what happens to those that they're giving to, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. How many funds do you have? If I said, Mrs. Hansen, I want to give X amount of dollars today, how many choices do I have?
Well, we have a variety of funds, and that's the thing that's really exciting to us. One of the things that is probably the most used fund is what is called the Donor Advised Fund, and I've been using the term today, Giver Fund, because people think of it more like giving. What is a donor? A donor is a person who has assets that they really would like to contribute and really utilize for the, in our case, the kingdom of God, or at least things in the community that can be transformative. It's called a family legacy fund, which is personal or family foundation. It's not directed, but advised by the donor. That's because the IRS likes the word advice. This means that the donor advises where the funds will go and to which type of charities are issued. So that's one. There's a family legacy fund, which allows people to achieve maximum tax saving advantages while at the same time guaranteeing that donations are used for what you and your family care about. My thinking, too, is that there are people out there who might want to support the radio station and what you're doing here, because everybody needs support. You need support just like any other. And a donor advised fund, or a designated, we call it a designated fund, can be set up at Capstone, which means it could be a designated end result for WFYL. And so there may be listers, and some people may think, well, you know, I only have $500, or I have $100, or I have $1,000, or I have $5. And by itself, it doesn't seem like a lot. But if you open a designated fund, and then others can fund into it with the same heart, you know, you could even advertise from here, we have a fund, and people can give to that fund at Capstone Legacy Foundation. So we are there to support ministry. Somebody said to me, and I loved it, that he had two loves, and one was ministry and one was money, because money funds ministry. And I said, I wish I'd thought of that. But the point of it is, that's really what funds are. They're there to support what is on your heart. I love what you do. And we all should be behind you more and more and more. This is the reason we exist, because we love to support those who really are sharing the values, the morals, the things that we, and I'm taking your listeners, because I believe if they're on here, they're on here because they love you, they agree with you, they love to hear the stories, they love to hear the lives. Now they have a place that they could send illiquid assets. There may be people of appreciated stock. Now, if they sell that appreciated stock, they get taxed on the difference between their purchase price and what the price is now. If they dedicate that stock to Capstone on behalf of your station, and this could be any other ministry as well, but I'm just taking this as an example, then that stock comes in, they get the value of the price of the stock when it comes, and that becomes a tax-deductible item for them. We sell the stock. The stock goes into the designated fund minus the charges, and then that fund can build up as support for what you do. Now, you can apply that to a pro-life. You can apply that to sending Bibles. You can apply that to sex slavery, marriage, whatever. So whatever's on people's hearts, that's really even to support Capstone, because we enable more people to give more, and that's the whole point of it. We also have annuities. There are sometimes people want to be able to give, but they can't give out of what they have totally, so they'd like to get a tax deduction, but they'd like to give a gift. And there's something called a charitable gift annuity. What that means is when you set up, say you have $10,000 you want to set up as a gift in the long term, but right now you need some of that income, but you'd like to get a tax deduction for a certain point up front. You can take a deduction for a third of that, and so that can go immediately to the ministry of choice, a church, ministry, whatever. And then the balance can come back in to you as payments on an annuity of whatever percentages is left. And so you get $700 a month or whatever for the balance of that time. Or, and this is something I found out that I thought was very interesting, maybe there's a child who doesn't have a job right now, or maybe there's somebody who's going through some medical issues. It's also a way to get a tax deduction and to be able to give that the remainder of that gift to that child, to that friend, to someone in need. So a portion can go to charity. What would be coming to you per month on the balance could then go to a person in your family who's going through a hard time. And so wounded warriors, I mean, there are just so many things that you could do with that if you just wanted to parcel it out on a monthly basis of what you would be getting somebody else. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
And I was really excited when I learned about that. I'll tell you, this has been a wonderful journey for me. I found all kinds of things people can do that I didn't know about. And it excites me because I think we put giving as cash. But one thing I've learned is that only 9% of what people have is cash. But when we think about giving, we think of giving out of cash, the liquid assets. But what we don't realize is 91% of what we have is not in cash. It's the total assets of everything we have. And we're not as inclined to put together, well, maybe I have a place down at the shore, maybe I have an extra car that I'm not using, or maybe I have a piece of land that's been given to me, or something, or that is just there that we are. Maybe you have some artifacts in the house that have value that you've been saving for another generation that doesn't want it.
Or golden jewelry that sometimes,
yes,
future generations,
yes,
think is very gaudy. It's just not their style, but it's worth a lot of money.
That's true. And I think sometimes artwork, artifacts. We have an organization that's working with us that will come in and give evaluations to people who may have things that they've been handed down that they believe may have value and worth to it, and if it's perceived to be so, they'll put some values on that. The thing that's fun about that is they are not only in the United States, they're abroad, and so there are markets at times for jewelry. there's markets at times for art or other types of artifacts that they can tell you when it's a good time to sell, and you get a better price than if you go to the jeweler to get a price, something evaluated. I took my friend who's here, Barbara Miller, to a jeweler because she had inherited a lovely piece of diamond and sapphire bracelet, and we thought it could be better used for the body of Christ. We went to a jeweler, and we didn't get that much, and then we saw the brochure that came out that was substantially different that they were selling it for. So, you know, we don't realize that they obviously are going to keep the margins because they want to resell. The people we have are just interested in getting money into philanthropy. Mm-hmm. So people can come and talk to us about that, and they can give valuations on different things that you may have in mind, either for estate or for insurance. And so that can be a matter of giving. So there are just so many different types of gifts that can be given. There have been charitable remainder trusts. There was a person, not in our state, but in another state, who in her 90s inherited mineral rights. Well, it turned out to be oil in Texas. They did drilling on the land, and this 92-year-old woman became extremely wealthy. Well, the family's been running around like crazy trying to figure out how to diminish their taxes, like, right away.
Right.
So they opened what is called a charitable remainder trust, which simply means that you can take a portion of what comes in. You put it in a trust, so it's an instant tax deduction. And then those monies can be given away, and they're having the best time deciding who needs to have these funds, because now they have something that they can give, which diminishes the taxes for the rest of what's being given.
And I think a secondary gain to that is when families are having fun giving money away, they're working together. I think it brings families close. It brings moms and dads and the children's, and sometimes they even include the cousins. And I think that it can keep the family legacy going for generations.
You know, you've brought up a very important thing, because I think one of the things that we don't realize, and always as parents we tend to give that second guess to our children, but there are children who don't necessarily want to go the way we're going. They may not appreciate the things that we feel has value. Sometimes we're not sharing our value. So if we come to, you've got a really good point, you come to the table and you start talking about these things, parents think their children are observing more than sometimes they are, because that's not where they're interested in as they're growing up. And then when they get older, they develop their own interests. So you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. This gives a third party. You could sit around the table. You can discuss where your heart, your passion is. And if you have a third party there, they can help vet out where your children are. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with not being on board, but it helps parents to understand where is the best place to encourage the children to become part of that, or just realize that's not going to happen, mm-hmm. and what are other steps that can be taken.
In our final few moments together, Mrs. Hansen, is there anything else that you would like to add to us? Please give us your website again and how we can get in touch with
you. Yeah, we have a new website. It's going to be up in about a week or so. We're going to be looking at the middle of October. It's an exciting website. It can be pulled up on an iPhone, an iPad. It's CapstoneLegacy.org, but right now it's still in its final form. It's exciting because it can be flipped into many aspects to understand some of the things we're talking about now, and there's a piece that really gets you into the different types of products that we have. We are focused to help you who are listening in any way we can to help your desires. We are located at 900 West Valley Road, Suite 203 in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Our phone number is 610-688-8890. It's capstonelegacy.org. You can get to us on our website, which is in transition, and you can contact me, Nancy Hansen, or Tom Kaiser, or Kevin McRae, and we'd be delighted to assist in any way that we can with any of these funding solutions. We are here to serve you in every way that can accommodate what your heart's desire is and your wish. We're here to listen, to accommodate, and to help. So Our joy is to see the joy in the heart of a person who really realizes that what they want to do can be accomplished and in a very safe place.
Thank you. This is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters right here in Philadelphia and Valley Forge at 1180 a.m. WFYL, working for your liberty, 8 to 9 on Friday mornings. Let's also talk a little bit about our governor's race that is happening. We're all going to be heading out to vote, I hope. You'll be getting up and going to vote this November. It's just a couple of weeks away. But I want to share something that came to my house this week regarding Governor Corbett. And I actually had the honor of meeting him a couple of weeks ago and just sharing concerns with him. But one of my largest concerns is that Tom Wolf is really pushing quite a dangerous pro-abortion agenda. We all know about the Kermit Gosnell case that was right here in Philadelphia, right in our own backyards. This was shocking to all of us that they found at this abortion clinic in Philadelphia, really it was a house of horrors, that's what everyone's calling it. It was an abortion clinic where basically this, I don't even want to call him a doctor because he's not a doctor. I would be offending every doctor and every healthcare professional. This man was doing abortions on women, and then he was doing late-term abortions. Sounds like he was doing whatever he likes and whatever he wishes. And he was actually saving body parts in his refrigerator, and he had jars all around his office of babies in jars and arms and legs. So this is something that's really goes above and beyond evil as far as I'm concerned. And there was actually one investigator Taggart, that actually says that, and I quote, "They were shoving body parts down the garbage disposal to the point where they plunged it one day and an arm popped out on Lancaster Avenue." This is not science fiction. This is what some people would like to see continuing happening here in our great civilized state of Pennsylvania. And these are the kind of things that Wolf wants to bring back to the state. Because what Corbett did when he found out about this tragedy, he placed laws that would protect women from being victims from a man like Kermit Gosnell. And he put into law things that would protect our women, you know, strict regulatory and inspection standards. They have to have the same standards at these abortion clinics that our surgery centers have. I mean, that just makes sense. That's common sense. That's really quite a no-brainer. And it was our Governor Corbett who signed into legislation requiring that these abortion facilities need to comply with strict regulatory and inspection standards, just like any other surgery standard. So because of our present Governor Corbett, Pennsylvania is now ranked one of the top five most protective states for life. We were ranked that by Americans United for Life. I actually have their little bag that I carry the kids' library books back and forth from. It's a great organization, Americans United for Life. So thank you, Governor Corbett, for being a friend of women, a friend to our children, and really a friend to the whole entire family. Again, I just want to share some other things that Corbett is working on. He worked to empower Pennsylvania mothers to find alternatives to abortion through the Real Alternatives Program, because I don't think that it is stressed enough that there is an alternative to abortion. So many organizations out there that want to help you choose life for the child that's growing inside of you. And there's so many adoption agencies. There's so many moms and dads who are waiting. They're on waiting lists. They've been waiting for years for maybe that baby that is growing inside of you. He also signed legislation blocking Obamacare from using taxpayer funds to pay for abortions. These are all areas where Wolf disagrees with our Tom Corbett. So before you walk into that poll, if you're a person that wants to protect life, and that's important to you, you're going to want to pull that switch for Governor Tom Corbett. We're not going to agree with any candidate 100%. But my goodness, I think that we need, as pro-lifers, to come together and work on getting our pro-life candidates into office. Let me share a little bit about Wolf and what I consider a radical agenda. He's proudly pro-abortion, and he promises to oppose pro-life legislation on behalf of all of his friends like the NARAL. He supports giving out condoms in schools and teaching our youth about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender sexual orientation courses in school. My problem with this is that I think that my children should be learning reading, writing, and arithmetic in school. I don't think that this is a place for schools to be teaching. This should not be a subject. This is none of their business. You leave that up to the families and the parents to teach their children about condoms and transgender and sexual orientation. And the last thing is that Wolf supports the use of taxpayer money to cover the cost of gender reassignment surgery for state employees. So if you're a taxpayer, which I am, maybe you think that that's okay. You want your money to cover that gender reassignment surgery. I don't want my money to go to that. If someone wishes to do that, spend your own money. I don't want you spending my money on that. So again, Tom Corbett, I'm just sharing the facts with you. He's a defender of life. He's a champion of our values, my values here. He's pro-life. He's traditional values for our schools. He's focusing on reading, writing, and arithmetic, and he's not promoting any liberal social agenda. And he does not want our taxpayer money to fund abortions. So please consider all of these things, and you don't need to take my word for this. You can go to the PA Family Institute and identify these, or go on to Tom Corbett for Governor, his website, and identify all of these issues, and prayerfully consider whom you will be voting for at the polls this November. And please bring a friend out to vote as well. I'd like to play a song for you this morning that I believe everyone is going to recognize. This is a song that was played almost every day for quite a few years when my girls were little.
If you like to talk to tomatoes, if a squash can make you smile, if you like to waltz with potatoes, up and down the produce aisle.
Excuse me. Have we got a show for you?
One of the writers of VeggieTales, the very popular children's cartoon, is Eric Metaxas. And he is going to be speaking at a fundraiser for Coventry Christian School right here in Pottstown on Saturday evening, October 11th, at the beautiful Sunny Brook Ballroom. You can go online to fearless2014.com. This is a part of Eric's Fearless Crusade that he is doing all year. He's speaking out to you what the Lord has laid on his heart.
Welcome, Eric, onto our program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
Glad to be here.
Eric, anyone with a pulse who knows who you are a pro-life champion. You're a prolific author of children's and adult books. And you are going to be here in Pennsylvania in Pottstown this Saturday evening at our very own Coventry Christian School. Can you tell us a little bit about Fearless 2014 and what you're going to be sharing with us?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I got to say I've never been to Pottstown before, so I'm looking forward to it. They tell me I'm speaking at the historic Sunnybrook Ballroom. Anything historic appeals to me, of course. I like old things. I like history. I'm going to be talking about a number of things. Some folks know me because of my Bonhoeffer book, which came out a few years ago. I'm going to be speaking a little bit about Bonhoeffer and a little bit about William Wilberforce, which is another biography that I wrote, because I think that young people today especially need heroes. I wrote a book even more recently called Seven Men, and I'm working on a book now called Seven Women. And I think that it's important to put out there the lives of people that we would want to emulate. We need to be inspired by real-life heroes. And it doesn't mean that these people are perfect, far from it, but boy, oh boy, some people have really lived lives that are inspiring. And I said, I want to write some books about that, and of course I have, and I want to talk about that. So in Pottstown this Saturday, I'm going to be talking about that and a number of other things. I have a book coming out, I guess, in 2 weeks, called Miracles, which is a whole other subject. But, yeah, folks can find out all this stuff from my website. It's just my name, ericmetaxas.com. But yeah,
and
this
congratulations.
Is...
Congratulations. Congratulations on your
this
newest
weekend
book.
I'm coming to Pottstown. Absolutely.
Excellent. I love your quote, young men who spend their time watching violent movies and playing video games aren't very easily going to become the men they were meant to become. They will drift. They will lose out on the very reason they were brought into this world, to be great, to be heroes themselves. So it's vital that we teach them who they are in God's view, and it's vital that we bring back a sense of the heroic. Do you want to comment on that? I think that a lot of young men do not have father figures in their lives. They don't have grandfathers anymore. So I think that your book, Seven Men, is really for such a time as this.
Well, that's part of it. I think that... you know, whether you have a father or whether you have wonderful men in your life, we're supposed to be influenced by people, not just by, you know, reading about, you know, 10 bullet points on what I'm supposed to do, but you see life lived out in other people's lives. And I think that, you know, we have a tradition in history of books about heroes. Plutarch's Lives, written how many years ago? I think 2,300 years ago. That was the last book that Dietrich Bonhoeffer had in his possession. We need to be inspired by great lives, people who are willing to sacrifice what they have for something larger, and even to believe in something larger, to say that this is not all there is. Actually, that's what the Miracles book is about, is to say this is not all there is. And pretty much the more you look at life, the more you say this is not all there is. There's something greater. There's something bigger. What is that? Now, you know, I would say that that's the God of Scripture. There's no doubt in my mind. But if you're not living for something beyond yourself, if you don't believe that you're called by God to be a hero in a great adventure, in a great battle between good and evil, then life is meaningless. And nobody who believes that is going to even be happy, much less lead a meaningful life. If you want to know who you are, who God created you to be, You've got to look at the lives of people who really understood that and understood it so much that they completely lived it out. Bonhoeffer, of course, at the top of the list, but there's so many others. In my Seven Men book, I talk about, you know, Bonhoeffer and Wilberforce, but I also talk about a few other heroes. Chuck Colson, who only died 2 years ago, he was a hero of mine and a friend of mine, and he lived his life that way. Eric Little from Chariots of Fire. What an incredible life. We need to know that these people really existed. They're no different than we are. Don't fool yourself. You know, people think, well, I'm not like that. God says you can be, you know, if you give him what he's given you, you give it back to him and say, Lord, use me. He wants to use us. He wants us to live heroic lives. And I think that's just about the most important message we can give young people today.
Absolutely. And I think that all of our young people are future leaders. And I think that America has not seen its brightest days. And
well, I'll agree with you on that. I'll agree with you on that. People, you know, the thing is this, too, that our hope's supposed to be in God. And to lose hope is really a sin. God says, you look at me, and I'll worry about history, and I'll worry about the details. You just do what I've asked you to do. And part of that is to remain hopeful and to remain active, trying to do the things that that will make a difference.
And Eric, did you ever, in your wildest dreams, expect that your life would be so ridiculously exciting just because you're obeying Jesus Christ?
Well, to be honest with you, I think in everybody's heart of hearts, especially when they're kids, they really do believe that life is supposed to be exciting. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you believe in magic, you believe in anything, and you know it's why we believe in Santa Claus. Now, you know, when you grow up, you find out there is no Santa Claus. But guess what? The deep belief that there should
something
be
better.
A Santa Claus, you know that there's something beyond the humdrum. And I think as a kid, I knew that. And I think what happens is you lose track of that as an adult. You begin to think, well, you know, it's not as glamorous. And well, that's a lie. That is a lie. God says that even in the most humdrum, we don't have to work. We all have to do boring things. But the point is that God calls us to be excited about what he has for us. And it might be the simplest thing. But I have to say that, you know, in some ways, yes, I thought about this as a kid, but in many other ways, of course not. Who could ever predict? I mean, did I ever think I'd work for VeggieTales? No. Did I ever think I'd get to meet two presidents of the United States because I wrote this book on Bonhoeffer? But you know what? We have no idea what God has for us. We have absolutely no idea. All we're supposed to do is what he asks us to do and keep marching, you know, and praising him.
Right, and I know that I was reared in church, which was such a blessing and such a heritage to have, but you should think about writing something about Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I'm not sure that our kids are hearing those Bible stories in churches anymore. You know, Daniel growing up in Babylon, would he have ever expected, being in exile in this country, that he would be the king's right-hand man and that he would end up being thrown into the lion's den?
Well,
and
I mean,
really,
When I think about you,
I think, you know, you're going into the lion's den when you go and you're sharing Jesus Christ in front of our presidents.
Well, I wouldn't call it the, you know, that's pretty metaphorical in terms of lion's den, but I know what you're saying. I mean, the thing is, look,
right,
every
you understand.
Day when you go into the workplace, when you go into school, now, I'm not talking about being a loudmouth religious idiot, because those people are turnoffs, but I'm talking about representing the truth, showing the love and the peace of Jesus, and when you're able to saying something that every human being is going into the lion's den every single day, wherever
sure.
we go, trying to say something kind to somebody who says something mean to you, not lashing out if your spouse says something nasty because they're angry they had a bad day, instead of giving back the same thing, say either saying nothing or praying for them. I mean, that every day, every single one of us faces big stuff. And that's why, as I said, I think we need to be inspired. And, you know, we need to inspire each other, because when you see a friend or a dad or anybody do the right thing, that's inspiring and says, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing.
Right.
So I really do think that this is kind of at the heart of the Christian walk.
Well, I thank you for being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Again, if you want to hear more with Eric Metaxas, come out this Saturday evening, October 11th, to the historic Sunnybrook Ballroom right here in Pottstown. And I just spoke to the headmaster about 30 minutes ago, and we do not have any dinners left. They are all sold out. But we do have tickets at the door. And student tickets, if you're a student, tickets are only $20. And you can hear Eric Metaxas live and his message for you.
Thank you so much for being with us. I want to say I'll be signing books before and after. So if you come early, I'll be there to sign books.
Oh, that's great. That's so exciting. And we can shake your hand. Will you sing us VeggieTales? Will you sing us VeggieTales, a little song?
Absolutely not. How's that for me?
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And God bless you richly.
Right. My pleasure. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
This is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty here in Philadelphia and Valley Forge.